Do we see a world at peace? A world, what do we see? We see a world instead filled with tumult and strife, don't we? Seemingly never able to attain peace. We've grown up in this world, and we think that's what the normal state of being, isn't it? That's what we think is normal. Confusion, tumult, problems, difficulty. But is it? Is a world devoid of peace the way it's always been? Again, in our own lives, when we look at our own lives, very short existence we have on this earth, it does seem like that. There's always strife and difficulties and wars. Today I want to talk about what is, quote, the normal state of being in the universe. And we'll see that today. This is not the normal state which we're living in right now. The title of the sermon is Peace, the Normal State of Being. Peace, the normal state of being. So what do I mean by normal? What do I mean by normal? Well, Oxford Dictionary Online defines normal as such. Quote, conforming to a standard, the usual, the typical, or what is expected. So how is it that peace is the usual or the typical or the expected state of being in the universe? Again, I know at this particular time it doesn't seem like that by any means, but we have to remember that there's just a few thousand years of mankind compared to just a blip compared to eternity. If I had the whiteboard back here open, I could run a line all the way across to represent eternity. The physical creation would be a small spot in the middle of that. And mankind's life during that physical creation would be just a little spot on there, wouldn't it? Very, very brief time. Again, the reality is that peace has been the normal state of the universe from eternity. Think about that. It has been the normal state. So what is peace? How would you define peace? Is it just merely the absence of war? Or is there a deeper meaning of peace? I looked up several different things online, and the definition I like comes from vocabulary.com. And they define peace this way. Quote, peace is a stress-free state of security and calmness. It comes when there is no fighting or war, everything coexisting in perfect harmony and freedom. Think about what we did. No war, no stress. Everything perfectly existing in perfect harmony and freedom. Has there ever been a time like this before? Well, yes, there has. Scripture tells us otherwise. You know, there is a time. I have four points I want to talk about today. We examine the subject of peace from a past, present, and future point of view. Again, there is a time that existed and will be a time that exists where there is perfect harmony and coexistence and perfect peace and freedom. So let's go with point number one. Point number one. Point number one, peace is the normal state of being between God and Christ. Peace is the normal state of being between God and Jesus Christ. That's where peace began, and that's where peace has always existed. Before anything was created, anything physical, any spiritual creation, there were two beings. John 1, verse 1 through 2, I'll just quote it. We know the scripture. John 1, 1 through 2. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and He was in the beginning with God. And in verse 14 in John 1, it says that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So obviously we know that the Word was Jesus Christ. So how did God the Father and the Word at that time, who became Jesus Christ, how did they get along from eternity? Were they constantly fighting and bickering with one another, seeing who could be number one, pushing the other one down, like we see in this world today, how everybody fights each other, whether it's political or sports teams or whatever the case may be? Or were they at peace with each other? Were they at peace with each other? You know, we have to think about that again. That was from eternity. In John chapter 10, verse 30, Jesus Christ said that, he made an amazing statement. He said, I and my Father are one. It didn't mean one being, but they are one of the same mind, of the same attitude. They are at peace with one another. John 17. Let's go to John 17. John 17, verse 20 through 22. John 17, verse 20 through 22. Jesus Christ, again, we read this at the Passover year and other times, but Jesus Christ, in the prayer before he was betrayed, he spoke again about how he and the Father were one. Again, one in attitude, one in purpose, one in peace with one another. John 17, starting in verse 20. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you. They also may be one in us, and the world may know, may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one. Again, God the Father and Jesus Christ are one, perfect in peace, perfect in harmony with one another. So let's look at a few scriptures that show us that indeed the normal state of being for both God the Father and Jesus Christ is peace. For God is the God of peace. Romans 15. We read several scriptures here. It shows us that God is the God of peace. Romans 15, verse 33. Romans 15, verse 33. Paul telling those of Rome near the end of the epistle that God is the God of peace. Romans 15, verse 33. Now, the God of peace be with you all. Amen. The God of peace. Chapter 16 here, Romans, verse 20. Again, Paul writes about God being called the God of peace. And the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you always. Amen. Paul tells us that God will crush Satan under us. The word crush means to completely crush, to shatter, both literally and physically and figuratively, to break into pieces. God will put an end to strife. Because, again, it's God's very nature. What is he? He is the God of peace. He's not the God of strife and problems. 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23. Paul, in the earlier part of the chapter, was given admonitions on how that Christians should live their lives. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23 and 24. Again, we're talking shows how that God is the God of peace. That is his very nature. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, will also do it. Again, we show who is the God of peace. We're going to Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13, here the writer of Hebrews, which we think is Paul, plainly says that God the Father is the God of peace. Hebrews 13, read verse 20 and 21. He is the one who raised up Jesus Christ from the grave. Hebrews 13. Verse 20 and 21. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good works to do his will, working in you what is well pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Again, the God of peace. God the Father is the God of peace. So what about Jesus Christ? Is he also of peace? Let's go back in Hebrews. Right here where Hebrews. Go back to Hebrews 7. Hebrews 7. I'll read verses 1 through 3. Hebrews 7, verses 1 through 3. And this is talking about Melchizedek. And we know who Melchizedek is. You can go back to Genesis 14 if you want to read the account there with Abraham. Hebrews chapter 7, starting at verse 1. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being translated king of righteousness, then also king of Salem, meaning King of Peace. Without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like the Son of God, remains a priest forever. Jesus Christ here, who was Melchizedek, was also called the King of Peace. In Isaiah, which we'll go a little bit later, Jesus Christ, Isaiah 9, is called what? The Prince of Peace. One last point on this, one last set of scriptures on this, John 14. John 14, verse 27. We can see, as we've read just a few scriptures, that both God the Father and Jesus Christ are of peace. That is their very nature. John 14, verse 27. John 14, verse 27. Again, this is at the last, right, for the last Passover that Jesus Christ kept. And earlier in this chapter, Philip asked to see the Father, remember? Back in verse 9, and Jesus said, look, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Because again, they're one. John 14, verse 27. Jesus Christ said, peace I leave you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives to you, that I trouble give you. Let me restart that again. I can't read it either. Must be something about the air up here. Peace I give you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Again, Jesus Christ promised to give them, the disciples there, and us as well, because we are disciples of Jesus Christ. He promised to give us peace. That comes through the Holy Spirit. Which brings me to point number two. Point number two. Point number two, peace should be our normal state of being. Peace should be our normal state of being. Again, you might think, well, that's crazy. Look at the insanity around us. Look at the world, the confusion, the problems, the difficulties. Turn on the cable news TV for a little bit. Look at the insanity that goes on out there and going after each other. How is it that it should be our normal state of being? Why should peace be our normal state of being? Let's go back to Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3. And we'll start in verse 16. Daniel chapter 3, verse 16. We know the account here in Daniel. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And we know that the king, King Nebuchadnezzar, made a huge, put up an idol, 90 foot tall. He commanded everyone to bow down to it or be put to death. Of course, they refused. Daniel chapter 3, verse 16 through 18. Daniel 3, verse starting in verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this is the cause, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning, fiery furnace. And he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. They were at peace. They weren't afraid of what the king could do to them. And they knew what the king was going to do to them. They knew what the fiery furnaces that they burned all the brick in were. They knew how hot they were. And they knew they wouldn't last very long in that fiery furnace. But they were at peace. It's like, hey, it's God delivers us. That's fine. But if he doesn't, that's fine as well. Just let it be known. We are not going to serve your idol because we serve the living God. They were at peace. They had peace of mind, didn't they? They knew their Maker. They knew who God the Father was and Jesus Christ. They knew their Maker. And they were willing to obey to the point of death. They had peace of mind. They had peace. We haven't been threatened to be thrown in the furnace yet, have we? But they had peace. What about you and me again? Where did they get the peace of mind from? You and I can't have that same. We should be in that same state of being that is peace. You know, suicides in the last 2 or 3 weeks have been in the news. There have been several celebrities have killed themselves, if you want to call that. I think suicide is now the 10th leading cause of death in the United States. There's a lot of people who have killed themselves. And probably each and every one of us here knows someone who has committed suicide. I know not long ago, my wife and I knew there was a girl who used to attend here, Louisville, Kentucky church at that time, many, many years ago. When we were teenagers, we came together, we knew her for years. She ended up leaving the church and developed, she had a lot of problems, a lot of mental problems. She killed herself probably about less than 2 years ago. She overdosed with her medication. You know, it was really sad to see that happen. She left a lot of grandchildren back. But, you know, she was only like in her mid-50s, so she wasn't very old. But she didn't have peace of mind. She had a lot of mental problems that really caused her a lot of problems. And she, of course, she left the church years and years and years ago. You know, even like I said, there's a lot of celebrities. Money and fame doesn't give you peace of mind either, does it? Not by any means. We can think of those who've committed suicide. And then some are quite famous. But you and I, brethren, should have peace of mind. We should have peace of mind. We have the mind of peace in us. We have the mind of God in us. And the God is, what is God? The God of peace. And we should, again, have that peace in us. And I realize that in this life, we get frustrated. And we realize trials and tests and problems come upon us. And it's difficult at times. But we should, our normal state of being should be that of peace. Look, Galatians chapter 5. We'll read verses 22 and 23. It's where the fruits of the Spirit are talked about. And the gift, one of the gifts of God's Spirit is peace. Galatians chapter 5, starting at verse 22. Again, like I said, I realize that you have difficulties and problems, but even through those, we should have peace. Galatians 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. The gift of peace is high on that list, isn't it? It's the third listed on that list. Again, the more we have of God's Spirit, the more we should be filled with that gift of peace. Even in this crazy, insane world, we should be filled with that gift of peace. James chapter 3. Let's go to James chapter 3. We will read verses 17 through 18. Again, I said I realize at times we go through tough times. But even through the trials and the tests and the problems we had, we should have peace of mind knowing that God will take care of us. We don't have to be without hope. James chapter 3. Verse 17 through 18, James has been contrasting here in this particular part the difference between earthly wisdom and godly wisdom. James 3, verse 17, talks about the godly wisdom. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. I like to read these last two verses from the New Living Translation. I like the way they put it. Verse 17. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure. It is also peace-loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others. It's full of mercy and good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. I really like verse 18. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. That's the way we are supposed to be. Loving, peaceable, gentle, merciful, full of good deeds. Peacemakers. Peacemakers who really all your life are planting the seeds of peace around you. Now we realize that that fruit probably will not grow for most people until the second resurrection. We understand that. But as peacemakers, we should be planting those seeds of peace now. to those around us. Friends, colleagues, sometimes even strangers that we run across. We should be planting those seeds of peace. Think about how Shadrach answered the king. How did he answer the king? Did he get up in his face and yell at him and say, "Hey, this is not right. God very plainly says you're not supposed to make idols." And did he condemn the king? He didn't, did he? He answered him peaceably. He said, "No, we're not gonna worship your idol. We're gonna do what God says." He didn't get angry, didn't get upset, didn't berate the king. He was at peace with God. Matthew chapter 5. Totally different than the way we see this world react to one another. Not in peace with each other. By any means, not in peace. Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. The Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is talking to those who are peacemakers. Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God." Blessed are the peacemakers. They are the sons of God. So even in a world that we live in, it's filled with strife and upset people, we are supposed to still be a peacemaker, aren't we? We are supposed to be sowing those seeds of peace. For we are already called the children of God, even in this life, aren't we? We have God's Spirit in us. We are the children of God at this time. So we should be filled with peace. First Corinthians 14, verse 33. Not peace, again, as the world considers peace, but peace the way that God is. In the church at Corinth, they were having some many difficult problems there. And they were also having problems when it came to keeping services and how they conducted church service. Some were speaking in other languages or tongues. 1 Corinthians 14:33. Others were preaching, but it was all at the same time. So if someone walked in, it's like a confused mess. So Paul reminded them that God does not create confusion, but God is God of peace. 1 Corinthians 14:33. "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as it is in all the churches of the saints." Now the word translated confusion here is Strong's number G182, and it means instability, disorder, commotion, confusion, tumult. God is not the author of disorder. He's not the author of instability. He's not the author of confusion. God is the author of peace, because God is peace. And therefore, as we became more and more like God, we should be more and more at peace. Our normal state of being should be peace. Again, I realize we're human. And I can tell you, my normal state, 100% of the time, is not peace. I strive for it, but it's not there yet. But it should be that. It should be our normal state of being. Philippians 2:5 tells us, "Let this mind be in you that is in Jesus Christ." Again, what is Jesus Christ? He's a mind filled with peace. He told the disciples again, "I give you my peace, not as the world gives peace." Go to John 16. We'll read verse 33. We're in John a lot here, talking about peace. But he had a lot to say the last Passover to his disciples, to us as well, about peace. John 16, verse 33. "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Again, we know the world is going to give us trouble. But Jesus Christ said, "Be of good cheer, be of courage. Be at peace, because Jesus Christ has overcome the world, and we can be at peace through Him." Let's go back to Psalms chapter 34. Psalms chapter 34, and we will read verse 33. No, I'm sorry, verse 14. Psalms 34, verse 14. Peter quotes a psalm in 1 Peter 3:11. Let's go back to read where David wrote it. Psalms, verse 34, verse 14. Psalms 34, verse 14. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. David gave an interesting view on how to obtain peace. The phrase "and pursue it" is Strong's number 8-7291, R-A-D-A-P-H, and it means to run after, to chase, to follow, to hunt, or to pursue, such as in a military sense. So David said we have to pursue peace. Peace doesn't come. We don't just stumble across peace. It takes effort to become a peacemaker, doesn't it? We have to pursue it. We have to chase it down sometimes. Because we know how hard it can be sometimes with other people when it comes to peace, don't we? Romans 12:18 says, if it possible, as much depends upon you, live peaceably with all men. Again, something we have to pursue to live peaceably. Not all men want to live peaceably with us. Some people do not want to live peaceably at all with you or me. And we know people like that. But again, as much as possible, we need to be a peacemaker. As much as we can do. Because we should be at peace. That should be our normal state of being. One of the greatest blessings God has given us in this world, especially in this, seems like this crazy world, is peace of mind, isn't it? We can have peace of mind. We see what's going on in the news. We see people are very anxious, very concerned what's going on, just, you know, almost insane with their fear. But we have peace of mind. God gives us through His Holy Spirit because He shows us what's going to happen. And again, the more we become like God in Jesus Christ, the more at peace we will be. Because God has given His Spirit of peace in us. Let's go to the next point. Point number three. Point number three. Peace will be the normal state of being when Jesus Christ returns. Peace will be the normal state of being when Jesus Christ returns. As we heard earlier, the fall holy days are not very far away. They're very close. Down there is normally about 98 in East Texas, about this time, 98, 99, maybe 100 and something. You think, well, the fall holy is only 2 months away. Doesn't feel like fall out there, does it? Doesn't really matter. It's hard to get into the excitement in some ways of the fall holy days when you think about it's 105 today. Fall is coming. But it is coming. And we're going to go to the book of Isaiah here in a minute and read several verses to talk about the peace to come. But let's start out in Acts. Acts chapter 3, verse 21. You know, and it may be the same here, but we've lived down there so long. When the first cold front comes through and knocks the nighttime temperatures down into the 60s, we think, fall is coming. And then, of course, that only lasts about a day or two. It goes back up. But, you know, you get that first glimpse, maybe a week or two before the feast, puts you in that feast mood to think about, yes, all holy days are coming. It's exciting. Acts 3:21, Peter had earlier in the, just healed a man who was lame, but all people had ran together to see what happened. Peter began to preach to them. Let's actually start in verse 19. Verse 19. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that He may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before. Verse 21. Whom the heavens must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of His holy prophets since the world began. What is this time of restoration? What is going to be restored? If something is going to be restored, it had to be there to begin with, prior to being taken away, didn't it? What was taken away from the earth? What was taken away from the earth? Isaiah chapter 9. Peace was taken away from the earth. Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 through 7. Peace was taken away from the earth. Peace was taken away. And the government of God was taken away from the earth as far as God control being there. And he's allowed Satan for all this time to take away the peace. But in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7, we will see again that it is coming again. Peace will again come on this earth as it was before. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. And we'll read all these again for the feast. But it's good to think about the peace that will come. For unto us a child is born, for unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice, from that time forward even forever. For the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Verse 7 says that the government of God and the peace that goes along with the government of God will go forever. From that time forward, forever and ever. As it was prior, it will go back to peace. Everything. Again, what is restored on this earth again is God's government and the peace that goes with the government of God. If you think about, again, think about this earth prior to Satan's rebellion. We don't know how long this earth was created. Billions of years, perhaps, that God allowed Satan to be down here with a third of the angels. And at that time, initially, it was in perfect peace and harmony because everything was in perfect peace. There was no confusion. There was no instability at that time initially. But Satan's deliberate rebellion took away the government, took away the peace that was on the earth. And that's what we have today as a result of it. But peace to the government of God, again, that's all was known prior to that. All that was known from eternity, however long that is. Again, until sin entered the universe. And Lucifer rejected the way of peace. He rejected God's government, God's laws. And of course, all of God's government laws are what God is. Jesus Christ, when he returns, he'll put down that rebellion against God's government. And he'll bring back peace to this planet. Again, this world will have peace again, as it had prior to that. Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11. Again, he's going to restore back the restoration of all things. Isaiah chapter 11. Let's just read verses 1 through 9. Not only will men be at peace, everything, all the animals. And there shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse. A branch shall grow forth out of its roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. The Spirit of counsel and might. The Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity of the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. And something the children always love to hear. And the wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the young lion and fatling together. And the little child shall lead them, and the cow and the bear shall graze. The young ones shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole. And the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. And they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters that cover the sea. God will restore again what the animals were when Adam and Eve were first created. The animals were peaceful. You know, that's pretty amazing when you think about that. We don't think of a huge lion as someone who eats grass, someone who's very peaceable. But God is going to put that back again, restore it to the way it was. And the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God again. Everyone will know. Everyone will understand. All peoples at that time will have their mind open to God's government. They'll be able to finally understand and have peace. Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 through 34. Very familiar scriptures. Earlier in the chapter, Jeremiah, God tells about how much He loves Israel. Now, Jeremiah chapter 31, starting 34. And again, God talks about how much He loves Israel, how much He wants to give them good things. And this is one of the good things that He wants to give, not just to the nation of Israel, but He wants to give this to all peoples. Verse 31. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant which I made with their fathers in the day I took them out by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant which they broke, though I am a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and I'll write on their hearts, and I will be their God and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man to his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. Those are the things that God wants to give to all of mankind. The good things He wants to give, not just to Israel, of course. And all these, everyone on the earth will have the opportunity to be at peace with God. Everyone on the earth will have that opportunity. They will have the opportunity like we have to have God's Spirit in them, to be granted the Spirit of God, be granted repentance. Again, given that heart of flesh, take away that heart of stone. Then people will be at peace. The whole world, mankind will finally surrender during that time to God. Into His government. And as a result, again, will be the peace. Isaiah chapter 35. It's wonderful to think about that. Again, as the feast is coming up, it's exciting we think about that. All those things that's coming up. All these things that God promises. Tremendous blessings. Tremendous blessings for this world, for all men. Physical blessings, but more importantly, the spiritual blessings that come with Jesus Christ revealing. Isaiah chapter 35, read verses 1 through 10. The chapter talks about what's going to happen during the millennium. Again, the earth will be healed. Mankind will be physically healed, but also, more importantly, mankind will be spiritually healed. And the wilderness and the wasteland shall be glad for them. And the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with singing, with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the excellence of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Strengthen the weak hands, make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fearful hearted, Be strong, do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. With the recompense of God, He shall come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened. This is physically as well as spiritually. And the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped, and the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. For the water shall burst forth into the wilderness, and streams in the desert, and the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty lands springs of water, and the habitation of jackals, where each lay, shall be grass with reeds and rushes. And a highway shall be there, and a road, and shall be called the highway of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for others. Whoever walks the road, although a fool, shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast go upon it. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. The ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. What a beautiful picture that paints. What a beautiful picture of peace and joy. True peace the state of being this world should be in, true peace awaits the return of Jesus Christ. That's why we're told again to pray, Thy kingdom come, for the peace that will come. Jeremiah chapter 33. Jeremiah chapter 33. Again, as we read that, you know, when it talks about the water, the thirsty land, again, God's Spirit compared to water, the world which is thirsty, which is dry, will at last be able to have God's Spirit as well. Jeremiah chapter 33, read verses 6 through 9. Jeremiah is talking again about Israel and Judah, but it also applies to all those who will be alive at that time. Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 6. Behold, I will bring in health and healing. I will heal them and reveal to them the abundance of peace and truth. I will cause the captives of Judah and the captive of Israel to return, and they will rebuild those places as at the first. I will cleanse them from all their iniquity by which they have sinned against me. I will pardon all their iniquities by which they have sinned, by which they have transgressed against me. Then there shall be to me a name of joy, a praise, and honor before all nations of the earth, who shall hear all the good I do them, and they shall fear and tremble for all the goodness and all the prosperity that I provide for them. Again, think about that. Verse 11, and the voice of joy, the voice of gladness, and the voice of the bridegroom, and the voice of the bride, and the voice of those who say, Praise the Lord of hosts, the Lord is good, and His mercy endures forever. And of those who will bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord, for I will cause the captives of the land to return as at the first, says the Lord. Again, God promises at that time healing. The physical healing of the earth, the physical healing of people, but more important, again, the spiritual healing, the forgiveness of sins. And what's the end result? The joy that will be there, the peace, the joy. It's the same joy each and every one of us should have today in our lives, that peace and that joy. They will have the opportunity then to have it. We have it now because God has granted us His Spirit, granted us forgiveness, granted us peace of mind and understanding to know what He plans. And we will be there again to share with them that joy. We all yearn, don't we, for that world tomorrow. I'm sure it's not that far away. Compared to eternity, it's not very far away at all, is it? Even if it's several years. And let's go to point number four. Point number four. Point number four. Peace, again, will be the normal state for eternity. Peace, again, will be the normal state for eternity. It will be what's normal. Again, if we think about if I drove that line across for eternity, the physical creation is just a blip. A very small, small part of eternity. Once you're on the other side of that bump, it's from there to eternity. Whatever eternity means. However you ever describe it. There's a famous astronaut named Buzz. If you have grandchildren, you know who I'm talking about in this case. Buzz Lightyear from the Toy Story. His famous saying was, it's from infinity and beyond. From infinity and beyond. And that's where peace is going to be. From infinity or eternity beyond. Forever. And ever. And ever. Whatever that means. We can intellectually understand that, can't we? But to actually grasp the depthness of that, the deep, I don't know, very hard. But we know that, again, it will happen after every person has made their choice. Every man, every woman will have to make a choice. Will I surrender to God? Will I surrender and become part of the family of God, surrender to the authority of God? Repent, or will I reject God and die? For God will not allow someone in His kingdom who will not come under His authority. But we have seen what's happened to those. And I think the vast majority of people will repent. There will be a few who will not. But when you look at it, I mean, for us, you think, okay, once I die, once I live forever. To me, that's pretty easy, isn't it? Now, for I realize that other people, some might not. But again, I think the vast majority of mankind will choose to live forever in the kingdom of God. You know, what did it say? Of the increase of his government and of peace, there'll be no end forever. Forever. Again, God is the God of peace. All his ways are of peace. Therefore, again, all those who will be born and into his family will be of the same. It will be of peace to infinity and beyond. Let's look at some scriptures. We're starting back in Psalms 29 that show us that God will reign forever and that his kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Psalms chapter 29. Many, many scriptures show that. We'll just look at a few. Psalms chapter 29. We'll start at verse 10. We'll read a few from Psalms. Psalms chapter 29 and verse 10. Psalms chapter 29, verse 10. The Lord sat enthroned at the flood, and the Lord sits as a king forever. Psalms chapter 145. Psalms chapter 145, verse 13. Psalms 145, verse 13. Psalm David. We say Psalms 145, verse 13. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Your dominion endures throughout all generations. Everlasting kingdom. Just one more. Let's go over Psalms 146, verse 10. One Psalm over 46. The Lord shall reign forever, your God, O Zion, to all generations. Praise the Lord. Let's go to the book of Daniel. Read a few verses in the book of Daniel. Daniel talks again about God's kingdom being an everlasting kingdom. Daniel chapter 2. Read verse 44. Daniel chapter 2, verse 44. This is where it talks about Daniel to give the interpretation of the dream to Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel chapter 2, verse 44. It's the culmination of all events. Daniel chapter 2, verse 44. And in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break into pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Chapter 4 in Daniel. Chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. This is what King Nebuchadnezzar, what he said after he was, again, given back his understanding. Chapter 4, verses 2 through 3. I thought it good to declare the signs and wonders of the Most High God has worked for me. How great are his signs and how mighty his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. His dominion is from generation to generation. Chapter 7 of Daniel, verse 18. Chapter 7, verse 18 tells us that we, as well as the saints of God, we will receive that kingdom. Chapter 7, verse 18. But the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. So we will receive that kingdom that lasts forever. Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. We'll read verses 3 and 4. Revelation chapter 21, verse 3 and 4. This is my favorite set of scriptures in the Bible. It talks of a wonderful time that's coming. Time that gives great comfort to me every time I read it. Of the joy and the peace that's coming in this everlasting kingdom of God. Revelation chapter 21, verses 3 and 4. And a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them. They shall be his people. God himself shall be with them and be their God. Verse 4. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Think about that. No more suffering, no more pain, no more sorrow. Joy, peace for eternity. For eternity, from then on. Everyone will have made their decision by then. The universe will go back to the normal state of being from that time forever. The normal state of being, which is at peace. And we as the people of God, along with God the Father and Jesus Christ and all of mankind who will repent and follow, will be at peace with one another, working with one another, whatever God has plans for us, without strife, without problems, but peace, peaceably. Chapter 22, we'll read verses 3 through 5. Chapter 22, verses 3 through 5. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it. His servants shall serve him. They shall see his face. His name shall be on their forehead. And there shall be no light there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light in the final one. And they shall reign forever and ever. We shall reign with God and Jesus Christ forever and ever. What an amazing thing that is going to be. And again, I realize that we grasp, like Paul said, we look through a dark glass. We grasp a little of it. We don't grasp the depth of it, what it will be. But that's what it'll be forever and ever. The normal state of the universe, the normal state of you and me, the normal state of everything will be, again, peace. Again, as we conclude today, the Word and God dwelt forever, for eternity, in peace. And they, even before they created the spirit beings, they were at peace with one another, complete peace with another. And again, even after spirit beings were created, there was still peace. Remember back in Job, the angels shouted for joy when the earth was created. There was still peace at that time. Even when the physical universe was first created, there was peace. But we know after Satan rebelled, that brought confusion, tumult, war into this universe, which never existed before, if you think about it. Never existed. It wasn't the normal state of being. The normal state of being forever had been peace. Peace and love and cooperation. That is the normal state of being. This is an abnormal state of being, which we're in right now. But again, if you compare the period of time that Satan has rebelled until it's completely done away with, it's a very, very short time compared to eternity. Very short time. It's an abnormal. War and destruction is really abnormal. Peace is the normal. For a few thousand years, again, mankind's been on this earth. It's not been peaceful. It's been war. It's been killing. It's been murder. We know that. But again, in the scheme of eternity, a second or two, very, very short period of time. And yes, you and I, even in this world, should be at peace. We ought to be at peace with ourselves, peace with God, and peace with those around us. Again, as much as possible, we should be at peace with those around us. We should be sowing those seeds of peace. Because in the resurrection, people are going to remember those seeds of peace which you sow. We have the Spirit of God in us this day. We have God's peace in the midst of us. God dwells in us. We have peace of mind. Tremendous blessing in this world. What a blessing that is. Like Mr. Armstrong, remember, he used to read, he says, I've read the book, We Win. We win. We should have that peace of mind. Because we do. We win. We get to be in the kingdom of God. We get to live with God and Jesus Christ and each other for eternity. We win. I'd like to finish by reading 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. That's very encouraging when you think about it. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. We do win. We do. We get to be with each other in Christ and the God the Father for eternity. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For such an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I like to read these two verses from the New Living Translation. Quote, so dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you are really among those God has called and chosen. Do these things and you will never fall away. Then God will give you a grand entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. A grand entrance into His kingdom, the kingdom of peace. That's what awaits each and every one of us.